Chaitanya gave mercy. How he, Lord Chaitanya gave his mercy to the to others. And it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how the Lord gives his mercy mainly by directly meeting people. That's one way. But then also sometimes the Lord would empower other living entities. He would enter into the body of other living entities. And then the third way in which the Lord would give mercy is where he would sometimes appear in places. Although he was in some other place, he would just appear. His avirbhav form would manifest. So there are some interesting examples of how the Lord, first of all, empowers other people. The example is given about Nakula Brahmachari. Nakula Brahmachari was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And it was understood that the Lord had entered into his body. He became effulgent, just like the Lord. He would glow just like with the same golden complexion as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had. And he was manifesting all the qualities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So people could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has actually entered into the body of Nakula Brahmachari. But there was one devotee called Shivananda Sen. Now Shivananda Sen was a long-time associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had known Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from childhood, and he doubted whether or not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could actually enter into the body of this person. So he decided he would have to test Nakula Brahmachari to see if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually there. His thinking was that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is really in the body of Nakula Brahmachari, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will know that I'm near him, and he will call for me. Not only will he call for me, but he will know also the mantra which I use to meditate on. So like this, Shivananda Sen set out to test Nakula Brahmachari. And he came to the place where Nakula Brahmachari was residing. And there were many, many people around the area. And Shivananda Sen was some distance away. So there were many people with Nakula Brahmachari. There were many people eager to get blessings and to be with him, to associate with Nakula Brahmachari. So Shivananda Sen remained some distance away. But at that time, Nakula Brahmachari called. He told the people around him, "Go and bring Shivananda Sen to me." He said, "I know Shivananda Sen is nearby. Go and bring him. I know he doubts me. Go and bring him here." So they went looking and they were calling out, "Is somebody here called Shivananda Sen?" So then Shivananda Sen came forward and they took him to Nakula Brahmachari. And then Nakula Brahmachari said to Shivananda Sen that, "I know you're doubting me, but I know your mantra." He said, "I know you're meditating on the Gaur Gopal mantra." The Gaur Gopal mantra is a four-syllable mantra. It comes in two forms, actually. It comes in one form as those who are devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they chant the mantra, Gauranga. 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 Four-syllable. But the devotees of Krishna, they will chant Hare Krishna. That's also four syllables, right? Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said there's no difference. One who chants the name Gauranga and one who chants Hare Krishna. So this was the mantra which Shivananda Sen was meditating on, and Nakula Brahmachari understood this. So in this way, Nakula Brahmachari passed the test of Shivananda Sen and proved that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually residing in his body. Now, the Lord's Avirbhav form, which is the other way in which Lord Chaitanya would sometimes distribute his mercy, it is said that the Lord would sometimes manifest in four different places. One place was wherever Lord Nityananda danced. The second place was at the home of Sachimata when she was offering food. The third thing was at the home of Srivas Pandit when there was kirtan. And the fourth thing was at the home of Raghava Pandit. Raghava Pandit. So these four places are very significant because the Lord manifests himself there. But in addition to these four, it is also not pointed out in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Lord also came to eat the food offered by a devotee named Nrisinghananda. Nrisinghananda. He was originally known as Pradyumna Brahmachari, but Lord Chaitanya changed his name to Nrisinghananda Brahmachari. He was a great devotee of Lord Nrisinghadev. So, it happened that there was one brother, relative of Shivananda Sen, named, or relative of Srivath named Srikanta. And he went there to Jagannath Puri and he had very nice dealings with Lord Chaitanya. And then when he was leaving to go back to Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya told him, when you go back to Navadvip, tell all the devotees there that they don't need to come to Jagannath Puri this year, that I'm coming there. Tell them to stay there and I'm coming there. They shouldn't come to Jagannath Puri. So when Srikanta got back to Navadvip, he told them all, he told Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya was just about to leave. He was just getting ready to go to Jagannath Puri. Because that was the program every year, just like you people, every year you like to go to Mayapur, or every year when it comes very hot here, you all go somewhere, right? So in Bengal they had their program also, you know. They would go to Jagannath Puri every year for the Rath Yatra, stay there for some time in Jagannath Puri and have the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Lord Chaitanya said, don't come this year, I'm coming there. Yeah? So they waited for the time that he was supposed to be in the month of December, January, that time, and the Lord didn't come. And the devotees were all anxious, why is the Lord not coming? He's supposed to be here by now. So at that time, Nrisinghananda appeared. And Nrisinghananda saw all the devotees looking very unhappy. And he thought, what is wrong with all of you? Why are you all so unhappy? Devotees should not be unhappy, right? Prabhupada saw one devotee looking very morose, long face, depressed looking. Prabhupada said, a devotee in Krishna consciousness cannot be morose. Quoting Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, right? You should be all Prasanatma. We all have to be joyful souls. At least within, we are joyful, right? The soul is eternally joyful. So, Nrisinghananda noticed the devotees were all looking very depressed. They said they understood the power of Nrisinghananda, that he was a great devotee, he could bring the Lord. So they asked him that the Lord is supposed to come here, he has not come. He said, don't worry, within 3 days I will bring him here. So he sat in meditation, and after 2 days then he said, the Lord is already at Panihati. Get ready. Tomorrow he's coming here and he will take prasad. You have to cook for him. So they all went and they got nice vegetables and fruits and everything, and they made nice preparations to receive the Lord. Now Nrisinghananda, I said, he was a devotee of Lord Nrisinghadev. So when he was preparing the foodstuff for offering, he put 3 plates. He had 1 plate for Jagannath, he had 1 plate for Lord Chaitanya, and he had 1 plate for Lord Nrisinghadev. And, you know, he made very nice offerings for each of the three lords. However, when Lord Chaitanya came there, he saw Lord Chaitanya came and he had all three offerings. So Nrisingha Nanda was surprised about this. He thought, how is it like this? That, you know, that, what about Lord Nrisingadev? What about Lord Jagannath? You know, are they going to have to fast today? You've taken their footsteps. So Lord Chaitanya explained to Nrisingha, actually, there's no difference between me. And he said, I know there's no difference between you and Lord Jagannath, but what about Lord Nrisingadev? Because he had some doubt that maybe that Lord Chaitanya is different, you see. So Lord Chaitanya appeared in this way and he ate all the three offerings. So much to the surprise of Nrisingha Nanda Brahmachari, he couldn't. So he explained, he said to Shivananda, same, that the Lord has eaten all the offerings, that my Lord Nrisingadev has to fast today. I'm the servant, how can I feel happy when I see my master is fasting? So Shivananda Singh could not understand if Nrisingha Nanda is speaking in joke or if he's serious. You know, he was not able to understand. Anyway, he said, you cook again. He said, we'll give you more food. You can cook again for Lord Nrisingha. So this is recounted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It shows that Lord Chaitanya could appear also to the demands of Nrisingha Nanda Brahmachari. But especially he appeared in these four places. And we want to speak about these four places today. First of all, he could appear in the home of Mother Sachi. Of course, that was Lord Chaitanya's own home. But he would come there, especially when his mother would offer foodstuffs. Lord Chaitanya would sometimes say to the devotees that, I have offended my mother, because I should not have taken sannyas. I did it on the spur of the moment. I was I became a madman, and on the spur of the moment I took sannyas and I left my mother. I've gone against the religious principles. But my mother, the mother cannot take offense against the child. So my mother is so kind and tolerant. And when she offers the food, she will offer the food to her Shaligram Shila. And at that time, you know, she will cook all the nice foodstuffs which she knows her son used to like. She will prepare all the different preparations which she used to make for Nimai when he was a child. And in this way she would think of the Lord. But then, when she would prepare a nice big offering, then she will think, but Nimai is not here to eat all of these things. Who will eat everything? I have cooked so many nice dishes, but who is here to eat everything? And at that time, tears will come in her eye, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will manifest by his spiritual potency. He will appear in that place, and he will eat all the offerings. He will eat everything. And then Mother Sachi will look at the plate and she will see the offering plate is clean. And then she thinks, oh, maybe I forgot to put the things on the plate. And then she goes back and she looks at the pots and she sees all the pots are still full. And she thinks, oh, maybe I did forget to put the things in the plate, you know. So Lord Chaitanya, he arranges all of these dealings with Mother Sachi. Actually, he says, actually, every day I go there and eat her offerings. So, there's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes when the devotees would come from Mayapur to stay there for Rath Yatra, when they would go back, Lord Chaitanya would say to Srivast Thakur, he would tell him, when you go back, you tell my mother that I very much enjoyed that offering she cooked on the festival of Ram Vijay Mahotsava, like that, some big festival, she cooked some big feast. Tell her I enjoyed that offering so much. Tell her not to doubt that every day I'm coming there to accept her offering. Another devotee also who got told to give the same similar news to Mother Sachi was Damodar Pandit. Damodar Pandit had quite an interesting relationship with Lord Chaitanya. He was residing in Jagannath Puri with Lord Chaitanya, and he was a person who was very strict about things. And he sometimes would even get, he would even try to instruct Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya used to fear the words of Damodar Pandit, because he was the kind of person who would point out that you shouldn't do that, this is not right, this is not the proper behavior, you can't do this. For example, when it came that the devotees wanted Lord Chaitanya to meet Maharaj Prataparudra, he said, if I meet him, Damodar Pandit will get angry. Damodar Pandit will not allow me to meet with a materialist. I don't want to get Damodar Pandit angry. There was another incident though. After some time there was an incident. There was a young child who used to come and enjoy the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This child was born in a Brahmana family, and his mother was a widow. She was an attractive young woman, and she had a very attractive young son. And this young son used to come and associate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed giving his association to this young child. We saw similar things with Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada also used to sometimes play with the children, and you can see in the videos Prabhupada giving cookies in Los Angeles, all the children would come and get their cookies from Prabhupada. It was a common thing every Guru Puja in the morning in the Los Angeles temple. It's a big community there, and there were so many young children. They would all come and get cookie from the hand of Prabhupada. In Bhaktivedanta Manor, there was one little boy, his name was Shivadwara. And you can see pictures of Prabhupada sitting on the lawn on Bhaktivedanta Manor. Prabhupada is playing with him, pulling his cloth and putting some sweet in his mouth and like this. So, just as, you know, these things are not uncommon. Lord Chaitanya used to do these things also. He used to play, enjoyed this young child coming. And the young child loved to be with Lord Chaitanya, because the young child could appreciate that this man likes me so much. So where the child feels love, then the child wants to go to that place. So this young child was coming every day, but Damodar Pandit was trying to stop the child from coming. Damodar Pandit was trying to keep the child away, but this child, you know, little child, he'd find a way to get past and to be with Lord Chaitanya. So Damodar Pandit could not stand it anymore, and after a while he came to Lord Chaitanya and told him that, he said, you know, this is not good. He said, this young boy has a mother who's a widow. And his mother is an attractive young woman. And you're a handsome young man. People will talk. People will imagine that there's something between you and her. Because you're so friendly, you're having such intimate dealings with this child, that people will think that maybe there's something between you and this woman. And we should be very careful. Your mission will be destroyed. So Lord Chaitanya was not very happy to hear this criticism coming from Damodar Pandit. The next day, he called Damodar Pandit and he said to him, I think it would be good if you could go to Navadvipa and be with my mother. My mother is alone there, and she needs to get news of our activities in Jagannath Puri. I want you to go there and take some prasadam of Lord Jagannath for her, and take some other gifts which I will give you, and you stay there and be with Mother Sachi and help to take care of her. At that time, he also told Damodar Pandit that you can also tell my mother that I am enjoying her offerings. That, and you tell her how I came there and enjoyed the last feast she cooked, and tell her not to doubt that I am coming there. And Lord Chaitanya described all the names of the different preparations which she prepared, and how also he had come there and eaten everything. And she looked at the plate and thought maybe her own deity of Gopal had eaten everything. And tell her that it wasn't the deity of Gopal, it was actually me. I had come there personally and taken everything. So this is one place where Lord Chaitanya would manifest his pastime, in the home of Mother Sanchi. Another place, we said there were four places, another place was in the home of Raghava Pandit. Now Raghava Pandit, remember I told that on a previous occasion I was speaking about the Raghava Jeli, which are the big bags of different foodstuffs, different kinds of numkins and sweetmeats and all different preparations which Raghava Pandit and his sister Damayanti would make for Lord Chaitanya. They would make wonderful things for Lord Chaitanya. Sometimes even they would take the earth from the Ganges and they would dry it and then crush it, and then they would sift it through a cloth, and then they would mix in some aromatic substances and make it into balls, so that Lord Chaitanya could also relish the earth from the Ganges. An interesting preparation. But there were countless other varieties of preparations which they would make. And they would bring them to Jagannath Puri to give to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya appreciated so much their love. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes not only Raghava Pandit would bring foodstuff, there were many other devotees also bringing foodstuffs for Lord Chaitanya. In fact, nearly every devotee who came from Bengal would bring something to offer to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya would just say, yeah, put it in the corner, put it in, later I would take it, put it in the corner. And in this way he was accumulating enough prasadam to feed 100 people. And then people would be complaining. They would all be asking Lord Chaitanya's servant, did Lord Chaitanya take my prasadam yet? Did he like it? How was it? Did he say anything? You know, they would all be asking. And Govinda would have to make up something or lie something, you know. So Govinda began to feel very guilty about all this. And I'm having to, you know, be untruthful. And he complained to Lord Chaitanya. So then Lord Chaitanya said, then give me the prasadam, bring it, let me eat. And Lord Chaitanya began to eat everything. And as Govinda would give it, he would say, this was made by Advaita Acharya, and this is made by Srivas, and this is made by Gadara, the different devotees, and Premanidhi, and Nandan Acharya, and he'd name all the different devotees who made each and everything. And Lord Chaitanya would eat it all. So Raghava Pandit, his home is there in Panihati, and he was he was very particular about everything which he offered to the deities. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes how he had hundreds and hundreds of coconut trees, but he would search out the trees which had the sweetest milk of the sweetest coconut water. And he would have that brought even from distances of 20 miles away. He would arrange to bring coconuts from far away, paying an exorbitant price just to get the sweet water to offer to his deities. When he would offer the coconuts to the deity, often, sometimes the coconuts would be drank. He would put the coconut on the, after he'd take it away, will be empty. The Lord would actually drink the water. And then, when he saw that the water is drunk, then he would open the coconut, take out the meat, take out that malai, and offer it again to the Lord. And sometimes the Lord would eat that also. So in this way, Raghava Pandit was having wonderful exchanges in offering the most special dishes for his worshipful deities. We had gone there actually with Srila Prabhupada in the year 1976 or 77. I remember going there. It was a very wonderful program. Prabhupada didn't speak himself. He had Jayapataka Maharaj speak and Tamal Krishna Goswami spoke. But it was, you know, they were interested at one point. They were thinking to give us some property there. But it never happened. It's not far from Mayapur, the place of Raghava Pandit, where his deities are. So Raghava Pandit was worshipping the Lord in this way, and the Lord was accepting his offering. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how particular he was with everything he offered to the deity. On one occasion, the servant was bringing coconuts to offer for the deity. And the offering was a little late, and he was standing at the door holding the coconut. But at that time, he used his hand to touch the ceiling. You know, sometimes the ceilings are a little low. You put your hand up and touch the ceiling. And then he touched the coconut. When Raghava Pandit saw that, he said, now we cannot offer these coconuts. You've touched the ceiling, Baba. You've touched the ceiling. What's wrong with the ceiling? He said, people are walking here. The dust from their feet must be flying up and going on the ceiling. You've touched the ceiling, then you've touched the Lord's coconut. How I can offer them to the Lord? Yeah, although they were so brought from far away, expensive coconuts, he would not offer. He thought, contaminated. Throw them out. Offer, get some more. Go and prepare other coconuts. This was how Raghava Pandit worshipped Krishna. So because he worshipped the Lord with so much love, so the Lord was coming there and accepting the offerings. He was not only just particular about coconuts, but everything which he was offering for the Lord. He would arrange to get the best fruits, the best vegetables, all different spices and so on, all that. He was very particular to offer, make all the best arrangements for offering to the Lord. And he would prepare them also in very nice conditions. You know, sometimes you go in the kitchen, you see the kitchen is a big mess, you know, really. You know, everything everywhere. So, and they say, well, after we'll clean. But actually, Prabhupada taught us that as you cook, you have to clean. You see? This is part of the worship of the Lord. It's not just only putting a nice dish on the altar, but the whole consciousness in which we prepare the food is very important too. Keeping the kitchen very clean and offering nice things. So if Prabhupada saw us offering some rotten thing to the deity, he would not be pleased. He would chastise us. Like, where is your bath? If you bring some rotten flowers or something to put on the deity, you'd be very upset. So Raghava Pandit was very exemplary in his worship of the deity. And in this way, he was able to attract the attention of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Lord Chaitanya would come there to eat the different foodstuffs prepared by Raghava Pandit. You can read also at the time of Raghunath Das offering the big feast for Lord Nityananda at Panihati, because it's at Panihati, so Raghava Pandit was also there. So Raghava Pandit came and they put a plate for Lord Nityananda, and they put a plate for Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya wasn't there, Lord Nityananda had come there. But they put a plate for Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya also appeared there and took the prasad. So Lord Chaitanya would appear at the home of Raghava Pandit. He he would also appear wherever Lord Nityananda danced. Wherever the Lord Nityananda danced, Lord Chaitanya would come. And that was one occasion. We could say there was two reasons why Lord Chaitanya came there at Panihati. Because Lord Nityananda danced there at Panihati also. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came. Wherever Lord Nityananda would dance and chant, Lord Chaitanya would also appear and be with Lord Nityananda. And the fourth place was at the home of Srivas Pandit. Srivas Pandit, his home was the place where the Sankirtan was inaugurated. Lord Chaitanya began the Sankirtan movement in the home of Srivas Pandit. Srivas Pandit's home was not far away from Lord Chaitanya's home. And Lord Chaitanya would come there and they would organize the kirtan. And they would invite the devotees to come, but they would not allow the non-devotees to come. Some different people had to be restricted. They would close the doors, bolt, and the windows also. They would not let people see. They didn't want people to watch because they did not want to disturb the ecstasy. You know, where the kirtan is performed with all devotees, then there is more ecstasy, there's a special mood, a special flavor in the kirtan. But when the public all come and watch, people, outsiders, then it's not quite the same. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to enjoy the intimacy with the devotees. There are some accounts given of different people who wanted to come to the kirtan in Srivas Pandit's house. For example, there was one materialistic Brahmin who wanted to come. But because this Brahmin was a Karmakandi Brahmin who was very materialistic and envious, they did not want him to come. They told him, "We're sorry, you cannot come." The next day, that Brahmana met Lord Chaitanya and he cursed him. He took his Brahmin thread and broke it. And as he broke his Brahmin thread, "I curse you. You will never enjoy material life." So hearing this curse, Lord Chaitanya raised his arms up above his head and chanted, "Haribo, very nice." So this was such a nice curse for Lord Chaitanya to get, that he would never be able to enjoy material life. And shortly after that, actually, Lord Chaitanya left home, became a sannyasi. Another person who wanted to see the kirtan was Srivas Pandit's mother-in-law. She wanted to see the kirtan. And she was hiding behind the curtain. But when they began the kirtan, Lord Chaitanya said, "I don't feel ecstasy. Who is here?" And then he said, "Yeah, this mother-in-law. Get her out." Lord Chaitanya wouldn't allow her to stay, even though she was some family member. He said, "Get her out." Another time, there was one renowned brahmachari who was a very strict brahmachari. And it says he only lived on milk and fruit. And he was a very strict, renounced person. He was living only on milk and fruit. So he wanted very much to see the kirtan. He'd heard about this and he thought, "I would like to see the Lord and how the devotees all dance and how they participate in the kirtan." So for some time, he begged the mercy of Srivas Thakur. He made some friendship with him and he was pleading with him, "Please, please allow me, please, I would love to see the kirtan, please help me." So then Srivas Pandit, after some time and some consideration, had mercy on him and said that, "You know, you cannot join the kirtan, but you can hide in the vicinity where the kirtan will be held." So he took him there and hid him behind some kirtan. And they began the kirtan, and the devotees were chanting, and it was a nice kirtan. The kirtan was building up, the devotees were feeling some ecstasy, they were enjoying themselves. Then abruptly Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan and said, something is wrong, I'm not feeling the ecstasy anymore. There must be something, some intruder here. What has happened? So at that time Srivas Pandit felt guilty, and he told Lord Chaitanya, he said, my Lord, it is my fault, I am to blame. I have allowed someone permission, I granted the man permission that he could come and stay in the kirtan. He said, but this man is highly renowned. He is a strict brahmachari and he only lives on milk and fruit. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he became more angry. And he said, he only lives on milk and fruit? Does he think he can get Krishna's mercy just by living on milk and fruit? Get that milk drinker out of here. He said, otherwise I'll destroy the whole world. Destroy everyone. So the man, he was hearing everything, and he came out and he was trembling, but he was also ecstatic because he had been seeing the kirtan. He felt very joyful to be able to witness the nice kirtan. He was very glad to see everything. And he was feeling very apologetic that at the same time he wanted to thank the Lord. But the Lord instructed him and told him, he said, do you ever hear of Prahlad doing any austerities? Did you ever hear of the gopis doing any austerities? He said, you don't get Krishna bhakti by doing austerities, just by drinking milk and fruit. That's not how you get the goal of life. Just by being a brahmachari, that is not going to help you achieve perfection in human life. You have to understand these things. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya gave mercy to this person that he could understand. So these kirtans in the Srivas Angam, this is where Lord Chaitanya would manifest. Even after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Lord Chaitanya would come in his avirbhav form. And by spiritual potency, he could appear there in the home of Srivas. When Srivas Pandit would come to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya would tell him that, go on having kirtan, and I'm also coming there. Don't worry, I'm also chanting, I'm also there with you. But he said, only you will be able to see me, the others will not. This is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that not everyone would be able to visualize Lord Chaitanya's presence. But Srivas Pandit could. Just like during the Rathiatra festival, the kirtan party was divided into seven different groups. And it was very well organized, with different personalities dancing in each group, and different singers in each group, and then there were expert madanga players for each group, and in this way there were seven different kirtans going on. Because there are three chariots, so you have to have, you know, you can't just have one kirtan party, you know. Where you have three chariots, you need to have more kirtan groups. So they had seven different groups of kirtan organized with the different devotees. And when the festival came and there was chanting going on, Lord Chaitanya was dancing in all seven groups at the same time. Just like Rasa Leela. When the Rasa Leela was being performed, Krishna could dance with each of the gopis simultaneously. And each gopi was thinking, Krishna is dancing with me. In the same way, Lord Chaitanya was appearing in each of the kirtan parties, and each kirtan party thinks, Lord Chaitanya is in our group. Our group must be the best, because Lord Chaitanya is in our group. He's appearing in our group. But Maharaj Pratiparudra, he could see that Lord Chaitanya was appearing in all seven groups. Not everyone could see that. It was the mercy of Krishna on his devotee, to reward his devotee for all his service. That Maharaj Pratiparudra could actually visualize how Lord Chaitanya was dancing and chanting in all seven kirtan parties simultaneously. So this is the avirbhav potency of Lord Chaitanya, manifest in these four different places. Another interesting incident between Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, which also took place after the Rath Yatra, when the devotees were preparing to go back. They would all come to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to take instructions from him. So one of the devotees who came was from Kaliagram. Lord Chaitanya had given them special service. He had asked them to bring the silk ropes for Jagannath, because the ropes which they had there in Puri were not very strong. So he instructed them, you bring strong ropes so that we can pull Jagannath nicely. Every year you come and bring nice ropes. So this one man, Satyaraj Khan, he came there to see Lord Chaitanya. And he fell at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he requested Lord Chaitanya. He said, I am in the householder ashram of life, and I am a materialistic person. How can I progress in spiritual life? Lord Chaitanya replied to him that you should constantly chant the holy names of the Lord, and you should try your best to serve the Vaishnavas. So hearing these words of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the man again inquired, how can I recognize who is a Vaishnava? What are the symptoms? By what characteristics can I understand who is a Vaishnava? Lord Chaitanya told him, anyone who chants the holy name one time should be considered a Vaishnava. In the Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami has described Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta tikshastishet pranatibis chavajanti, that a devotee should mentally honor anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord. Here, Lord Chaitanya has said, anyone who chants the holy name one time, we should consider him a Vaishnava. And there's some discussion also on this. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are several verses in relation to chanting the holy name. They also quote that whether one is initiated or not is not important. If one is chanting the holy name, then that is sufficient in itself for perfection. Of course, the initiation also helps us to chant the holy name. But even if one is not initiated, if one is chanting the holy name, they haven't undergone the formal process of initiation, but still they're chanting the holy name, then it is good for their life. The next year, the same man again returned to Jagannath Puri. And he again approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and again put the same question. How can I recognize a Vaishnava? Now, the first time, Lord Chaitanya has said, anyone who chants the holy name one time should be considered a Vaishnava. This time, the second time, Lord Chaitanya said, anyone who regularly or constantly chants the holy name of the Lord, he should be considered a Vaishnava. devotees, as devotees, we have to regularly chant. We have to, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, had given the instruction, Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should constantly chant the holy name. So the idea is, you know, we should chant more and more. In the beginning, neophyte devotees, we don't have much taste to chant. We may not chant very much. But as we go on, we get more taste. We should be chanting more, increasing our chanting. Our chanting should not be reducing, it should be increasing. We shouldn't think, well, now I've been chanting for a few years, now I can reduce my chanting. The idea is, the longer we chant, the more we should chant. We should always try to increase the chanting. Because the chanting of the holy name is the most important of all the types of devotional service. But it is not just only chanting, but we also have to try to improve the quality. We have to chant the name purely. One may chant the holy name once without offense. That is better than a lot of chanting with offense. So quality is also important. Krishna wants quantity and quality. Again, after another year, the man returned to Jagannath Puri and again asked Lord Chaitanya, how to recognize a Vaishnava. On the third occasion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that person who simply by seeing him makes other people chant the holy name of the Lord, he should be considered a Vaishnava. Simply by seeing the person makes other people chant the holy name. This is Vaishnava. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained Vaishnava in different ways. And similarly, this is in accord with the scriptures, that there are different levels of devotees. There is Kanista, Madhyam, and Uttama devotee. So in the same way, devotees in the beginning, they're chanting not regularly. They may chant irregular. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said they chant the holy name once. They're not regular in their chanting. This is the lowest level. It's devotee. They're devotees. They've started to chant. Rupa Goswami said, one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord. One should offer obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that devotee who is fixed in undeviating devotional service and is freed of the propensity to find fault in others. Rupa Goswami has also pointed out three levels of devotee. Chanting the holy name is on different levels. Some people chant irregularly, some people chant regularly, and other people, they're so full of Krishna consciousness that just by they can inspire others to chant. So like this, we can appreciate the nature of Krishna consciousness. That we respect everyone as a devotee, but at the same time, not every devotee is on the same level. We have to understand that there are different levels of devotees. But at the same time, we don't identify. Devotee is a humble soul. The first quality of one in knowledge is amanitvam, adambitvam. He's humble and without pride. So no one will ever say, I'm on the highest level. Nobody should be so foolish to claim that I am Uttama, or I'm on, now I'm on Uttama, I've just come down to this level for preaching. You know, nobody, no devotee, no genuine, sincere devotee will ever claim. A devotee always sees himself as being fallen, thinks of oneself as a lowly, unqualified person. We have the example from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Das Kaviraj describes him, his own self. Jagai madai haiti muni she patishta, purushera kiti hai muni she lagishta. That I am more sinful than Jagai and Manhai. I am lower than a worm in stool. Anyone who utters my name loses their pious activities. This is the thinking of a devotee, a genuine devotee. Prabhupada says, when Krishna Das Kaviraj writes like this, he's not just trying, making a show of trying to be humble. He said he actually means it. He's actually genuinely thinks of himself in this way. The Goswamis of Vrindavan were all in this mood that they were so humble. That's why they were loved by everyone. The dira dira jana priyo priya karo, that they were friends with the envious and the pious and the sober, peaceful person. They all loved the Goswamis because they were not envious of anyone. So this is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. That we want to try, the more we study the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, we want to appreciate the mood of the devotees, their humility, how they imbibe, how they put this consciousness into their daily life. How sometimes people are worried that if in the material world we are humble, we will simply be pushed around and walked over. But actually, Krishna is in the heart of everyone. And if we act seeing Krishna in everyone, Krishna will protect us. Krishna is always caring for the devotees. We don't have to have any doubt. It is a question of our own faith and surrender to Krishna. So we hope that we can also develop this faith and surrender to Krishna. This comes about just simply by engaging in devotional service. If we go on with our hearing and chanting, our spiritual practice, we have to develop these good qualities. Just as when a person is hungry and he eats food, as he eats food, he feels relief from hunger, he feels also nourishment, and he feels also satisfaction. Right? Now, okay, full, I've had enough, satisfied. Santosh. So then, in the same way, when we are doing devotional service, we should feel also detachment from the material world. That will automatically come about. Detachment from the material situation and devotion for Krishna will awaken along with transcendental knowledge. These things come about. Just as by eating food, we feel relief from hunger, nourishment, and satisfaction. So we feel detachment from the material existence, devotion for the Supreme Lord, and transcendental knowledge. So we have to simply go on and practice our sadhana. It's not easy. Prabhupada said, it took me 32 years to perfect my chanting. And that's Prabhupada. What to speak of us? It may take us 32 lifetimes. We don't know. But we have to continue chanting. I was hearing a lecture today by Bhakti Charu Swami, and he was saying sometimes people come to me and tell me that I can't control my mind when I chant. But he said to them, he said, when they come like that, I say, anyway, go on chanting. Because you're chanting, then Lord Chaitanya is pleased. You're attracting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Go on chanting, continue chanting, and gradually the mind will come under control. Just don't give up. It will take practice, but by practice it is possible. We know in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was also complaining about his mind. Chanchala hi mana Krishna, huh? But Krishna says, abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena chakriyate. By practice and detachment it is possible. So if we continue, if we go on with this process, we should understand we have the perfect process. There's no higher process. There's no easier process. There's no more sublime process. It is all the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has come to give us the most valuable thing. We just simply have to take advantage. We have to go on hearing and chanting, and everything will come from that. It is the means and it is the perfection. There's nothing beyond that. So we will stop here and ask if there are any questions or comments. Prabhu?
When Prabhupada used to say that Krishna consciousness is sublime, what is it actually mean by that?
Well, sublime means, you know, very joyful. It's very happy. You feel very, and you feel ecstatic, if you like. Our spiritual nature, we were saying, Brahma Buddha Prasanatma. So sublime, something is sublime. It's very nice, very relishable. You don't think, when you have it, when you feel sublime, you don't want anything else. You've got everything you want. You're fully satisfied. So that is sublime. Yes, my city.
In the Chaitanya Leela, is there any instance when the said Goswami came together, all the six?
When who?
When all the six Goswamis came together, were they together at any such instance?
Oh, Jiva came very late. I'm not sure how, certainly he came to be with his two uncles. So yes, there must have been times when they all six were together there in Vrindavan. Gopal Bhatta came from Sri Rangam, from Trichy, to live in Vrindavan. Raghunath Bhatta came from Banaras there. And then Jiva and Sanatana, Rupa and Sanatana are well known. Jiva, first of all, you know, Jiva did some other things before he came. He went on Parikram and Mayapur and everything, and he went to see Mother Sachi, and he was in Banaras. He was learning Sanskrit there in Banaras. Then he came to Vrindavan. So, because Jiva's the nephew of Rupa Sanatana. But yes, there would be times where all six were together, and others also, Bhugarbha Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, who were there in Vrindavan even before Rupa and Sanatana. They were the first ones to come in Vrindavan. They had not been able to do very much excavation of Vrindavan, but they were the first, they were the pioneer in Vrindavan before Rupa and Sanatana. And then of course Krishnadas Kaviraj came there. Krishnadas Kaviraj came after Oh, Raghunath Das Goswami was originally in Jagannath Puri. So after Lord Chaitanya disappeared, then Raghunath Goswami came to Vrindavan and he was thinking to jump off Govardhan Hill and commit suicide to give up his life there in Vrindavan. But he met Rupa and Sanatan and he took the shelter of their association. So Raghunath Goswami came only after Lord Chaitanya finished his pastime. Raghunath Goswami was originally, he was, when he came in Jagannath Puri, he was given to Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar was the secretary of Lord Chaitanya, and Raghunath was the secretary of Swarup Damodar. Lord Chaitanya gave Raghunath to Swarup Damodar. So he was known as Swarup Raghunath. And he lived in Jagannath Puri in the association of Swarup Damodar. But then after Lord Chaitanya disappeared, then Swarup Damodar, very shortly after Lord Chaitanya disappeared, he also disappeared. So Raghunath Goswami was left, he saw all the great souls disappearing, so he came to Vrindavan. And he was thinking to give up his life. But he then met with Rupa and Sanatana and took the shelter. So that, yeah, generally there would be meetings. They would meet together and they would discuss all the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Krishnadas Kaviraj offers his respects to Rupa and Raghunath, because they had enlightened him fully about all the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Krishnadas Kaviraj didn't get the opportunity to know all these things without the help of Rupa and Raghunath. So they would be meeting and discussing all the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, Krishnadas Kaviraj could compile Chaitanya Charitamrita. So yes, I think definitely there were times when all six Goswamis were there together in Vrindavan. And not only six, the others as well. Prabodhananda Saraswati, who was the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he also came to live in Vrindavan. And he wrote many books also. And then Jiva Goswami, when he was there, you know, after some time he opened his school, and then Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shamananda came there, they were in his school. So all these great personalities, they all came through Vrindavan. Advaita Acharya, he'd already been to Vrindavan. Lord Nityananda also, he'd been. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to Vrindavan to visit him. To visit Rupa and Sanatan when they were living in Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there, discovered Radha Kund for them. Any other questions? Yeah, Damodar Pandit is very different from Swarup Damodar. Very different. Damodar Pandit, I said Lord Chaitanya sent him to go to Mayapur, take care of Mother Sanchi, be with Mother Sanchi. Because he was being, you know, everyone was afraid of Damodar Pandit. He was so severe and pointing out faults in everyone. And even point to the extent that he tried to find fault in Lord Chaitanya sometimes. So Lord Chaitanya said, better you go to Mayapur, go and be in Navadvi, take care of my mother. Swarup Damodar is different. Swarup Damodar is the very intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, and he could understand exactly the mind of Lord Chaitanya. Especially during the Rathiyatra festival, when Lord Chaitanya would be in ecstasy of bringing Lord Krishna to Vrindavan, at that time Swarup Damodar could compose songs and just the right mood to increase Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy. He would know exactly how to respond to the moods of the different feelings of ecstasy which Lord Chaitanya would be feeling. Swarup Damodar could always quote appropriate verses in scriptures and enhance the loving mood which Lord Chaitanya would be feeling. So Swarup Damodar was a very important associate for Lord Chaitanya, and he was constantly with Lord Chaitanya, because Swarup Damodar, as Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, or in the mood of Radharani, Swarup Damodar was the gopi Lalita, Lalita Sakhi. And as Lalita Sakhi sometimes would protect Srimati Radharani from different from Lord Krishna, sometimes she would not allow Lord Krishna to come to Srimati Radharani. So similarly, Swarup Damodar would protect Lord Chaitanya, because so many different people, acharyas and so on, poets and writers and so on, were all coming to Jagannath Puri, and they would want to read their poems or sing their songs or do their dramas to present to Lord Chaitanya. So Swarup Damodar, his job was to check on everything, to see if they were bona fide or not. Because often people would come and there would be some Mayavadi theme in their song or something. There would be something wrong. There would be some rasa basa, some overlapping of mellows, inappropriate mellows, you see. So Swarup Damodar had the job to check on everything, because if they were wrong, Lord Chaitanya would get very upset. And he'd get very angry with your people. He'd be, you know, this is not correct, shouldn't be like this. So they didn't want to upset Lord Chaitanya's mind, to upset his, to disturb his mood. Swarup Damodar's job, therefore, was to screen everyone and everything that came. You know, but sometimes people would come with their commentaries, of they've written a commentary on this and like that, you know, want to read it. So he would check on everything, and he would decide whether or not it was suitable for Lord Chaitanya. So he had a very big job, very important job, Swarup Damodar. We said he's the gopi Lalita, and Vishakha was Ramananda Rai. Yeah? So these were the intimate, most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, because they could always enhance Lord Chaitanya's mood in absorption in Krishna. Lord Chaitanya was in the, we said Gadarha Pandit, he is Radharani, but his mood of Radharani is different from the mood which Lord Chaitanya has of Srimati Radharani. Lord Chaitanya's mood of Radharani is Srimati Radharani in the mood of separation, vipralamba seva, separation. This is Lord Chaitanya's mood. Gadarha Pandit, we say he is also Radharani, but he's not in that same mood of Srimati Radharani, of in separation. His mood is more in the mood of opulence, that he is a Gadadhar Pandit was always very careful not to upset Lord Chaitanya and not to do anything against the desire of Lord Chaitanya. Gadadhar Pandit was always very careful. He was always worried that he may do something wrong to upset Lord Chaitanya. So this is like Radharani, more in the mood of awe and reverence, a more reverential mood towards Krishna. Yes? Well, the mercy to Jagai and Madai was actually given by Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda was given the job to go and distribute the mercy. He is the real mercy giver. If you want to get the shelter of Lord Chaitanya, we have to go through Lord Nityananda. We can't just go directly to Lord Chaitanya, but we have to go through Lord Nityananda. To get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we have to take up that mood of delivering Jagai and Madai. Yeah? So if we take up that mode of trying to deliver Jagayat Matahai, then we attract the mercy of Lord Nityananda, and that will give us shelter of Lord Chaitanya. We don't go directly to Lord Chaitanya, but we go through the spiritual master. By the mercy of the devotees is greater than the mercy of Krishna. We gave the example before, we told the story about Lord Chaitanya's servant, Kala Krishna Das. When Lord Chaitanya was in South India, he became attracted to some tantric group, some tribal people who were involved in Tantra Yoga. And there were some women with them, and he got somehow attracted to them. So although he was traveling with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became attracted to some of these women who were with this tribal group who were involved in tantric practices. And Lord Chaitanya had to go and rescue him and forcibly drag him back by his sikha. And when they got back to Jagannath Puri, then Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not going to take this person, I don't want this man with me anymore. This man he fell into Maya. They said, I don't want to be bothered with him anymore. I have to go and rescue him. I have to take trouble to get him out of Maya. He said, I don't want him with me anymore. Yes. So then he was kicked out of his service, but the devotees headed by Lord Nityananda and so on, they arranged that he could go to Navadvipa to be with Mother Sachi and to do service there. And later on, that same person, Kala Krishna Das, became reinstated. He became one of the Mahants, one of the intimate associates of Lord Nityananda. And he also went on to become a spiritual master and accept disciples. So this shows how the mercy of Lord Nityananda is more, is greater. We often say that the mercy of the devotees is greater than the mercy of Krishna. Because Krishna is more reserved in giving that mercy. He doesn't just give his mercy to anyone and everyone, because he becomes purchased wherever he gives that mercy. Srila Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Devotion how devotional service is rarely achieved. It's one of the qualities of devotional service. Rarely achieved. Why? Because Krishna becomes controlled by this devotee. Krishna became the chariot driver for Arjuna. He became a messenger for Maharaj Yudhisthira. Krishna becomes obligated to his pure devotees. So he rarely gives pure devotion. But the devotees are more merciful. They distribute devotion. So that's why we see that although Lord Chaitanya is merciful, there's greater mercy coming through. And also time and circumstance, particular time, Lord Chaitanya is not going to let them all come in to see the kirtan. Doesn't mean he wasn't going to be merciful to them. He could give mercy, but this doesn't mean that he has to give the mercy they want. They wanted to come and see the kirtan, but that was just disturbing the activity of the devotees. Lord Chaitanya is not denying them mercy, he's just not allowing them to come to the kirtan. But he could still bless them if they come for blessings, if they wanted his mercy, he could still give blessings to them. But he doesn't just open the door to the kirtan and say, okay, yeah, you can come in, you can disturb our kirtan. Lord Chaitanya's first duty is to encourage his own devotees. So these kirtans were important for his own devotees, that he's having the intimate association, all the devotees, they're relishing the kirtan. It was so important for their own spiritual well-being. So his first duty was to his devotees.
But when you're doing so, when you're giving due respect, it doesn't matter, it doesn't mean that you'll be finding fault with them. It will be like comparing, oh, this person is a Uttamadhikari and this is a Madhyamadhikari, and you may end up finding fault with them.
No, but we don't do that. We don't put labels on people, that this person is a Madhyamadhikari. No, we don't do that. We see everyone as a devotee. We see everyone as a devotee, and we think everyone's better than me. We see everyone better than our own self.
It's like comparing within ourselves only, other than comparing to devotees.
Yes, we don't compare different. We see everyone in relation to ourselves. Everyone's better than myself. That should be the thinking of a devotee. We should think of ourselves as being servant of the devotee. We don't have to. At the same time, you know, we may understand that, you know, some devotees are maybe more senior, that we need some guidance or something. We don't just approach a new devotee. You know, you have to get some guidance, you have some problems, something's troubling you. You don't just go to any new devotee and tell them all your problems. You reveal your mind to someone who you have some faith in, who is able to help you. At the same time, we respect everyone. Although someone may be a new devotee, we can respect them as a devotee. We quoted the verse from Upadeshamrita. Rupa Goswami says, one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. So he may just have begun to chant, but we mentally honor him. We should never look down on anyone. But when we need help, then you have to know who to go to. We have to be a little intelligent to understand. In some parts of the world, they have mentor schemes and like that. You know, you have, I think you have bhakti brikshas here and like that. You have people. So like that. You need somebody to help, you know, who you can go to, who can reveal your mind. It's important for us. Loving exchanges, also mentioned by Rupa Goswami. Different types of loving exchanges. Inquiring confidentially and revealing our mind in confidence. So these kind of exchanges are important for us. You have to have someone to go to who you can open up to, and you can take some guidance. I can help you. Any other questions? Okay. How's the time? Okay. So we can chant for 5 minutes? Just 5 minutes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama.